Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 70 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very, very well. 70 podcasts.
Yeah, the ones ending in zero, they mean a bit more, don't they?
Yeah. We'll get to the 100.
I know, yeah, flipping heck. All this time we've invested, all this free therapy I've been getting for the last year and a half or whatever.
You wait till you get the bill. Whoever told you it was free?
And everyone out there listening as well feels the benefit, I'm sure. I would hope.
Oh.
This week we're talking about abuse, mainly domestic abuse and violence, but we may kind of stray into the emotional side of things and bullying as well.
Yeah,
we'll see how we go. We may have to go into another episode about that. There'll be a blog post on the website if you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk, where Sean will write some more words relating to this, which you can have a look at and share if you wish. Check it out. How you doing, Sean? You been alright?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm attic man. I'm busily working around
attic
the attic.
Man. Yeah.
Because we need it to be doing all our recordings.
It's alright doing it here. Yeah, I quite like it in your little
In my cupboard.
This is where it all happens, isn't it?
I'll
explain a bit more about this because this is an interesting little world of the therapist. I'm sitting on the couch here, rather comfortable. It's not one of those New York style therapist couches where people kind of lie down.
People do lie on that.
Do people take their shoes off?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, some people sit cross-legged on there. Some people sit very stiff. Some people will lie down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do people that you see regularly kind of change, and as soon as they sit down, you can tell something's up?
Yeah, but also people use this space. I always call it the cupboard here. But people use the cupboard as a safe place. And people will say to me, oh, I just love coming and being in here because I can just be.
Can I take a photo?
Just let it go, yeah.
Am I allowed to share this?
Yeah, yeah, that's okay.
Okay, I'm going to put a photo of this in the show notes.
Yeah, and I've got about 1,000 books up there on the...
Yep, some nice little quotes, so yeah.
And people love the bookcase, and people borrow books and things. So.
And you've got your little library card system that I got for you.
Yeah.
So they make sure it comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool space, man. It's interesting.
It's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Safe place.
I've had a good week as well. I'm on baby countdown, really. I'm just waiting for that.
Yeah.
The head is engaged on all that stuff. And I'm just waiting for the call or the scream of pain in the night. We gotta go! So it's all very exciting. It's cool, though.
Yeah.
It's good. Life's good. Life's good. For some, life ain't so good. And we're talking about abuse, domestic abuse. So this week, I mean, is it something you deal with on a regular-ish basis?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
Physical, yeah. Mental, or both?
Oh, yeah.
Would it start with mental and then lead to physical, or is it just depending
varies,
on...
Varies a lot. Some people are just mental bullies. I suppose the biggest thing for me is that abusive behaviours become addictive. That you'll get someone who starts off, they got a niggled feeling. And that niggled feeling turns into... a voice, a loud voice that can turn into a shout that then becomes physical. It can become a slap, become a punch, become a kick as it builds up over time. And most abusive situations like that get worse over time.
Right.
Yeah, some will stay constant, but most escalate.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stats on it, man. I mean, for the female side of things, refuge.org.uk, and for the guys, it's mankind.org. I mean, just on that side, 38% of domestic abuse victims are male, which is becoming more... People start to know about it more. I mean, I'm starting to see it mentioned more and becoming more aware.
I think that figure's spurious in the sense that men...
Spurious.
Men tend to hide it. So I think it's actually much higher than that.
Okay.
I get about 5 cases a year of men who have got to the point where they need to come and deal with it. And I think that is just the tiniest tip of an iceberg that we don't see in our society because men don't admit it, women do.
Right, well...
At a higher level.
The stats on the female side. 30% of women will have experienced some kind of physical abuse from the 16 and up. So that's a pretty high figure, isn't it? Is it called The Guardian? Cool. interesting Guardian article about domestic abuse, which I'll stick in the show notes as well. The reason I suggested we talk about it this week, apart from it being a pertinent, important topic, I was watching Coronation Street on Monday, or it was on in the background, rather. Bethan likes to watch it, and I do get into it a little bit, if I'm honest. EastEnders as well, blimey, that's grim. But, yeah, there were these three ladies, three characters, whose names I don't know, I'm not that into it, sitting around a table, having a glass of wine, having a good old gas with their pals, and they were talking about how frustrated they get with their male partners and husbands. And they, all three of them, at some point said, oh, I'd love to slap him, I'd love to do this, I'd love to do that. And I was thinking from initially, if there was on telly, and just on telly, and guys sitting around a table saying that about their wives, it would not be an acceptable thing to say on TV. Mm. So my initial thought was that's bad because double standards, and it's also bad because... But then as I thought on, it's kind of interesting because it's raising the issue of male domestic abuse, whether the writers knew it or not. I think it's just lazy writing, to be honest. But that's where it stemmed from.
Yeah.
Coriori.
Yeah. Mm. So you're saying that that our society effectively does one rule for women, one rule for men?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking initially. I mean, I'm thinking about my wife and her pals. I don't think they would sit around saying how much they'd like to slap us, although they may think it because we are a frustrating bunch of guys. I can imagine. Yeah. Really good laugh. But there's no way I would ever say to, like, sit around with my buddies having a good gas, which I do say, well, probably because I would never do it, obviously. But I would like to slap Bethan. It's just crazy. So I thought it was just bad writing, to be honest, and I didn't complain. I'm sure not many people, guys, picked up the phone to complain about Coronation Street. If it had been the other way around, I bet there would have been complaints. Big time. Talking about guys talking about slapping their partners. But yeah, domestic abuse.
I suppose the question that comes up is, although we now see issues of domestic violence in the press and people are much more vocal about it, is it actually an acceptable thing? Is it something that, when it's described in those terms, is real? I mean, we tend to see domestic abuse as being a man perpetrating abuse on a woman. I know from my work that it may be that that is the majority of cases, but there is a huge issue about males being abused in relationships. Now, some of those are going to be gay relationships. That's true.
Yep.
But it's very rare that I work with gay abuse. It does happen, but it's quite rare. The abuse I work with men is where the woman is abusing the man. And it virtually always, the woman is small and fiery and the man is big and quiet.
Really?
Yeah, and the man very often has this internal coding where he feels like if he was to hit the woman, he'd break her in half and knock her head off. And his programming is you don't hit a woman. Even when the woman's beating you with a stick, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Occasionally it boils over, and that does happen. But it's that perpetration of woman on man, which is something that is a hidden issue in our society.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess there's been a good amount of progress in the last 50, 100, how many years. There may have been a time when it was far more acceptable to keep your wife or... Oh, well, I'm going to talk about male and female abuse when it probably was acceptable to keep her in her place and deliver the odd bit of...
But women were put in ducking stools and things like that. They gossiped, wouldn't they?
Blimey.
All that kind of stuff. I think that it's only relatively recently, and we're talking about the 60s, I think, when women ceased to be the property of men.
Yep.
Women were chattels. It was in the wedding ceremony that when you were either owned by your father and that ownership was passed on to the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of rape inside a marriage wasn't a legal issue because it couldn't happen. You know, the man had sexual rights over the woman.
She was.
Whereas these days... And that is recent. I mean, that isn't...
Yep.
Yeah. But these days, sexual abuse within a relationship is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of the problems always in these things is identifying what is abuse and what isn't.
Yeah,
because, I mean, last time we were talking about success and success being in the eye of the beholder. Well, abuse is in the eye of the beholder. If you're into sadomasochism and you want someone to slap you around and nail you willy to the counter or whatever is your thing that floats your boat.
Sure, okay, yeah. Yeah,
then that's not abuse, is it?
Yeah, and then there's the whole... I was chatting about this because a girl I work with, I was told her what we were going to be talking about in the next couple of episodes. She was interested. She was talking about how the kind of... the mental abuse side of things doesn't have to be physical in terms of if you call your partner, if she says she's overweight or she's a bit... he or she is overweight or needs to lose a bit of weight, is that abuse? Mental, like verbal abuse, which is kind of over time, little things like that can just eat away at a person, can't they?
Yeah. But that puts us in really awkward situations. We talked about this a few episodes ago. You know, what happens if your partner comes down in a pair of slacks or a skirt or something and says, what does my arse look like in this? You know, there's a variety of things that you can say, but to say
it
looks like a barrage balloon that blots out the sun, you know, means you're heading for divorce, isn't it? And it's like trying to be honest and not be hurtful. You know, I mean, most people aren't fat anyway, but they think they are.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess if someone comes along and says, what does my bum look like in this? It's because they're worried about what their bum looks like anyway.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just open the door and run. Just run, keep running.
At that point.
Don't answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it is that abusive? It is when you... And is the issue about domestic violence is obvious, isn't it? But when you get to domestic verbal violence or domestic verbal abuse or sarcasm, like where's the line?
Yeah it's tricky, isn't it? Where does it all start? I mean, I'm guessing there's a certain, you know, it's all learned behavior.
Yeah.
Right, none of us tend to come out of the womb like kicking, screaming with like AK-47s just wanting to gun everyone down. We're all learning this stuff, so I'm guessing it's a relationship with our parents is a big like what we've seen growing up.
I think observation is a huge factor in what we're doing, and because we observe, we develop what's in psychospeak is termed internal working models. So if I observe, say I'm a woman and I observe my father beating the tar out of my mother, and I develop an internal working model of a husband is someone who maybe goes out to work and brings in the money, but also on a Friday night he gets drunk and beats the tar out of the woman, then maybe that's what I expect. And cognitively I might say, of course I don't. Mm-hmm. But emotionally I do. To the point where I have had women say to me that they've tried to go out with nice guys who become boring, and a woman actually used a phrase, this is almost verbatim, something like, I'd rather that he hit me as a show of affection than was just nice all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, now you're talking about a whole load of internal models there that to me would be disturbed, but for her were normal.
So she's also expecting it.
And if you look at sexual interactions, at what point does a sexual interaction become rough? You know, some people like it rough and passionate. They want to be thrown around the room. You know, for another person to be thrown around the room is an act of abuse.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're talking about that internal working state of how we see the world. And I guess that one of the biggest issues is the thing about people not getting to know each other before they commit to relationship. You know, someone says, I love you, someone says, I love you too, let's give off into the sunset, without actually understanding what each other mean by these emotional connections.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of try before you buy stuff. You know, how do you know what someone's like intimately, sexually, socially, unless you go through those experiences with them?
Yep.
And yet we have people that are in arranged marriages, we have people that dive straight into a relationship with another person without doing any of the preparatory work.
Yeah.
So there's no tuning in.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's it. I mean, where do we draw the line and all that stuff? I mean, I'm looking at, obviously, my little, the chap that I talk about all the time, my little fella, little Will, he's starting to exert or show some kind of frustration every now and again. as we all do, when he's not, when he doesn't get exactly what he wants. And he's going through a slight phase at the moment where he's starting to lash out a little bit physically. Like, if I'm, well, he'll just whack whatever part of me he can get hold of, basically, when I say no to him to certain things. So we're trying to teach him that, you know, that's not the best way to deal with it and all that stuff. So it's interesting. And then there's the whole, well, that brings up the whole smacking debate about kids, doesn't it? And whether it's a good or bad thing.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I'm not sure. I've kind of half-heartedly had a go, but not really. I can't. It's not my style. So I'm trying to figure out other ways of doing it. But your story about the lion and the, or the lioness, yeah, with her cubs.
Yeah. I was watching the lioness
just the other day.
Just the other day.
Out the window.
Yeah, in the garden.
Go through your bins.
And the cubs are playing with her tail, and she's flipping her tail around, and it's a bit of a game.
Yeah.
But one of the cubs actually bites her tail, grabs her, and actually digs in with his teeth. And she goes, wow! And she smacks the cub around the head, and the cub goes rolling across the grass, and then comes back a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, that was an expression. It was a communication.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's instinctive as well, right?
Yeah, completely valid.
Yeah. Yeah?
And I can imagine someone having an instinctual response like that with a child, which is completely different to a premeditated, okay, go in the kitchen and take the clothes brush with you because I'm going to beat the tar out of you with the clothes brush. Now, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like an instinctive lashing out. It's a lot of thought gone into it. And
And in a way,
taking pleasure in it almost.
Giving someone a slap is a form of communication. That may sound politically and correct, but there are some people that only learn when they get a slap. You know, maybe someone is socially inappropriate, they get to the point of being a teenager or something, and they're socially inappropriate, and someone smacks them in the mouth, you know, and then they learn the lesson. And they didn't learn it from people saying, hey, you shouldn't do that, you know, but the broken nose had the effect of, I'm going to change my behaviour.
Yep.
So it was a form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are times in society when that kind of communication is the only communication that works. It doesn't matter how much we believe in love, happiness and a bag of crisps. It's like, and sometimes it has to be appropriate to the moment.
Yeah. I'm sure we're all capable of that somewhat to one degree. And I was like, I could see where I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any of us at any point can lose our rag and,
mm-hmm.
and become a bit aggressive.
There's one interesting stat from refuge.org.uk. On average, a woman is assaulted 35 times before her first call to the police. That was actually some guy, Jaff, 1982. But I'm sure it's still a relevant statistic.
Years ago, we put together
35 times.
In a maternity unit, we put together a kind of a rescue service for abused women. One of the things that we tended to find was that when a woman, an abused woman, comes to the maternity unit, she'd be accompanied by the man. The man would be in the consultations and the man would be dictating what was going on. And sometimes it was quite difficult to check out and address where the woman was at. So we did things like we put in all the toilets, we had telephones, so, and we had contact numbers and stuff like that. So women could actually ring from the toilet if they were in the toilet.
Wow.
And it was quite a very successful project. The issue for us in that situation was statistically a woman will attempt to get away from an abuser 5 to 7 times before she succeeds.
Right.
It's quite difficult. Mm. Equally so, on too many occasions now, I've worked with a woman to get away from an abusive man, and we've got her and the kids in a refuge. And we've managed to sort them out. We've got them located into a new house, new beginning. And then the woman has rung the man. And they're back in again.
Blimey.
And that's happened to me so many times.
It must be frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's that addictive component. There's a lot of addiction in violence.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay. But It's easy for us to say, isn't it, because we're in cool relationships and like we'd never dream of doing anything like that, and we've never, I've never experienced it. Obviously, I know as a kid you had a bit of a dad, or he had a dad who was a bit of
a bit of a
rapscallion, a bit of a fellow, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But you haven't grown up Well,
do you know?
Once that's behind closed doors.
Because that's one of the things, isn't it? Is that we make an assumption that the people next door are nice guys, you know, and when they're in the street, maybe they are.
Yeah.
But you don't know what happens once the door
is closed. I remember when, not in the house we live at now, in our old flat, there was the guys above, I think they rented it just put, like temporarily, so they didn't own it. But really lovely to talk to, in this, both of them in the hallway and going to the car and all that. But you hear stuff going on upstairs every now and again. It never got to the point where I had to like make a call to the authorities. Yeah. But it got close a couple of times actually, and it was pretty fascinating, but also worrying behind closed doors. Hey,
but if two people have an aggressive sexual relationship. So maybe there's lots of shouting and screaming and banging and people being thrown around in it. And you, outside of that situation, because you can hear it, go and ring the police. And the police arrive and the people look at you like you're mad because they were just having sex.
What do you do? Yeah, I mean,
it's a balance.
Do you advise to make the call to the police or let the people up the stairs that you know, or next door that you know quite well, that, listen, I've heard stuff going on, and is that just going to mean that the person that's doing the physical abuse is just going to be a bit more quiet about it? Mm. Just do it more quietly. Are you just saying keep it down? Yeah. What is the best way to do it?
I think it is completely situational, and it's hard to give a blanket thing. I think you've got to feel it and do it. I mean, and to be able to talk to an individual, and away from the situation is key. You can't address abuse issues with the two people there together.
Yeah.
Even if you're addressing the perpetrator, the victim can come to their defence because there's that weird bonding that goes on. Obviously, because of the couples work I do, there is quite a lot of deviant behaviours that you deal with in all kinds of areas with couples. The people outside of that situation would never ever believe we're going on.
Mm.
You know, when you see people outside of the consulting room in Tesco's, and they're just kind of ordinary people, just a couple.
Yep.
You know, one of the things about domestic violence, particularly, is very often the bruises are in places where you can't see them.
Yeah.
So someone can be covered in bruises but not actually appear to be bruised. You know, that kind of thing.
So it just goes unnoticed completely?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the stats, I mean, one of my resources is a site called Esteem, which is a site for men. You're looking at something that probably 97,000 to 100,000 men in Britain at the moment are victims of abuse, are being abused at the moment. And which is a hidden thing because those people don't come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like I say, a percentage of those are going to be in gay relationships, so the perpetrator is another man. But a lot of those relationships are going to be where the perpetrator is a woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and just to sort of start wrapping things up a little bit, but let's talk about, rather than, there's always a lot of attention, and rightly so, on the people that are being abused and what they can do to get help. Maybe there's people listening to this that are perpetrating the abuse. Yep. Maybe we've left it too late. Maybe they've already gone and they're just through guilt or like they just don't want to know.
Yep.
What about those people? Because they need help as well, don't they?
I've never, ever worked with a perpetrator who wasn't abused themselves.
Okay.
Every abuser I've ever worked with was abused. Equally, I've worked with lots of people that were abused that didn't become abusers. Yeah, but there is that relationship between abuse and abusing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very often the abuser who is the victim of abuse themselves has never resolved or come to terms with what happened to them as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Classic behaviour is, if we're looking at the male-female split, you know, the man gets aggressive, hits, becomes violent with the woman and leaves, and then is contrite, is emotional, is upset, is playing the whole game of, you know, I love you, I won't do it again, I'll come back. And then they come back and they do it again.
Yeah.
And then you go in this kind of roundabout. And the reason that they do it again and again and again is because they have internal stuff that they haven't resolved, and they're into this cycle of behaviour, which in psycho speak is inside them but outside of their control. And unless they do the work that allows them to get hold of that control, then they are a loose cannon.
Yeah, because the danger is, okay, the people, men and women that have been abused, let's say they've been hit for that 35th time and they finally pick up the phone and get help and maybe they get out of that relationship, cool. The person that's stuck there on their own and that's been dishing out all this abuse, violence, is just going to move on to the next, well, victim, let's call them, and keep doing it. So,
yeah, because it's
is there enough help given to the people that are dishing out the abuse?
No. We're not good at supporting those kinds.
How forward thinking are we on this podcast?
We should be setting up services.
Yeah, these guys need help and girls.
Do it. Yeah, and for me, abuse issues are probably about 20% of what I do, one form or another.
Yep.
Maybe higher in some cases. Certainly, if you're looking at bullying in the workplace. But you, when you've got someone who is a perpetrator of abuse in the workplace, and by that I'm talking about bullying, that could be sexual, it could be institutional. You know, there's all kinds of levels of bullying that go on like that.
Yeah.
But those people are victims themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's that repetitious behaviour, pass the parcel.
So what's your trick? I mean, I'm going to go on a limb and assume that you're, when the door is shut, you're a pretty stand-up guy as well. What's the trick for, like, because you had a reasonably horrendous childhood.
I think that...
What's the trick to not keep the cycle going?
I think that from my point of view, as an observer, as a child, when I was a Will, and I'm watching my father kicking off, and he got a bit of whiskey in him, and he's kicking off and starting to go. And I used to look at him and think, you stupid man. There was always that perception of, why are you doing this?
I'm sure Will looks at me and thinks, you stupid man.
So there was never that connection in. So that I didn't get it, but violence was...
He wasn't like an icon for you or anything?
No.
He was more of a...
Yeah, it was family-wide. You know, if the family were there getting on with stuff and then you heard the key in the door, everyone would scatter, everyone would be gone. Yeah, go to the four corners of as far as where you can get, because you never knew what was coming through the door.
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did he do for work, your pops?
He was an artist kind of person, but in the print industry. But he did lots of art. He was a very clever man.
Mm-hmm.
Intellectually and creatively clever, but a bit emotionally inarticulate and barren, really.
Yep.
Emotions expressed in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, he came from a difficult situation. So, I mean, he was playing past the parcel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know where his father got his from. Yeah, but it's a choice, isn't it? I suppose that in life, if we look at what's happened to us and how we've become who we are as kids, as we form, the issue is, do we repeat those behaviours or do we go the opposite? And it usually tends to, it's usually not shades of grey, it's usually one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But I think that the most important thing about this, if there's going to be self-help tips in this, it's like, if you are someone who is abused, unless you start to address it, nothing will ever change.
Mm-hmm.
And there's loads of fears in that, because the fear is that if I begin to address the abuse, then it will get worse.
Yeah.
And that's very often true, you know, because things get worse before they get better. But especially the police services in Britain now, they have very good domestic violence units, and there's usually a woman, whatever there always is, a woman police officer. And I've done lots of work with the police over the recent years, in the last kind of 15 years. And the units are good. And if you go and talk, if you go into a police station and you talk to a WPC who's skilled in those areas, they will help you. And they won't come rushing around your house with truncheons and blue lights flashing. You know, they will work with you.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the first thing. And it, especially if you're a man listening to this and you're a victim of abuse, it may be or feel more difficult to come out and admit it and deal with it.
Sure.
But it still needs to be done.
You've got to do it.
You've got to do it, yeah? And if on the other end of this, you're listening to this and you're a perpetrator, you know you're a perpetrator, go and see a psychotherapist. Go and see somebody and deal with your issues. Mm-hmm. Stop being an arsehole. You know, stop taking your rubbish.
That's brilliant advice. I love it.
Stop taking.
You don't get on any other self-help show, man.
But stop taking your problems and putting them on other people.
Yeah.
You know, deal with it. Face up to it. You know, man up, if that's the word. Yeah. And in that, I'm identifying that maybe 30% is probably about that, from what I can understand. 30% of abusers in the home are women.
Mm-hmm. And that's so similarly.
Yeah. Woman up. Same issue. Yeah. Woman up. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Don't allow your mess to mess other people.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I've got two great quotes now for Twitter from Sean Orford. Like, deal with it and stop being an arsehole.
That's good. That's good. I got it on my tombstone.
Oh yeah, get some t-shirts.
He
printed.
Stopped being an arsehole.
Yeah, cool. All right. We've mentioned some. I mean, I mentioned refuge.org.uk for women, mankind.org.uk for male abuse victims. I don't know if there's anywhere that the perpetrators of this abuse can go for help, but like you say,
there are,
you an email or.
Yeah, there are services around that deal with it. But if you have got the guts, the balls, to the ovaries, to go and sit down with a therapist and say, look, you know, this is what I'm doing. I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first step. And whatever needs to be done, you know, can be done.
Uh-huh.
But unless you start to address it, then you're lost, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
My two resources, apart from Get Therapy, are esteem.co.uk, esteemmen.co.uk, which is a site particularly
esteem
for men,
men,
which is useful, and womansaid.org.uk.
Or womansaid.org.uk. That's how I read it, that's weird.
Woman's Aid.
Woman's Aid, Woman
Said. Woman's Aid.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, yeah, there's plenty of advice out there, isn't there? It's a good places to go.
Yeah, and it's something that in society waking up, we need to address it.
Yeah.
You know, we have enough understanding of things.
Yeah, I haven't got a resource in there, but I have thought of one going on, and it may initially make you chuckle a little bit, Sean.
But I'm already chuckling.
It's a series of movies. It's actually a trilogy, but it's the first two that I think you need to watch. I've been watching them kind of religiously the last few months, Godfather 1 and 2.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, there are instances of domestic abuse in there shown reasonably, you know, vividly, graphically. But the more I think about it, the more that it's just the way that Don Corleone, both the played by Pacino and his dad, what's the actor? Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando, that's it, yeah.
Wrestle with how to deal with situations, whether it's to, you know, give a guy a little slap or to kill someone, have them properly ended. It's not an easy decision for them. It's just, I think it's fascinating actually, related to this. So if you haven't seen Godfather 1 and 2, watch them and then watch them again and then watch them for a third time, because they're incredible movies. There's so much to learn. I haven't watched the third one yet because people tell me that it's not all that great, and it kind of just sours the trilogy, the series a little bit. So I'm not sure about three, but yeah. Watch The Godfather.
Yeah, I will do that.
You haven't seen him.
I've seen The Godfather 1. That's where Marlon Brando looks like he's got cotton buds stuck in his.
Yeah. Talks about amazing performance. Yeah, I was late to the show, man. I'm a film buff, and I only watched them a few months ago for the first time. Just because they're quite long and they're intense, and I always knew that I needed to set aside some time, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Right, in the meantime, go to our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for all the links, show notes and bits and bobs that we've mentioned. Free resources, not free resources, have a look. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well,
yep,
if you wish. And get help from whichever side of the abuse you're on.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some help, guys.
In a way, it's like there's no excuse not to get help.
Yeah.
There's help around.
Yep.
Yeah. Be and if the least you can do is drop me an email asking for something, you know, then let's do it.
Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah. Next week we're talking about failure. we did success last week, because there is a certain joy and a certain positive side of failure, isn't there, which I think we can discuss. And
how do you learn?
Ramble on about for half an hour or so.
Yeah.
So we'll do that one.
Yeah, we learn probably as much from our failures, if not more, than from our successes.
More, I would say, loads more. Yeah. But we'll go into that one. That's some good examples for you.
We're on.
Right, have a good week, Sean.
And you. Take care.
See you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.